This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severton. There have been more air attacks between Iran and Israel today. ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
President Trump also questioning the future of Iran's regime, posting, "Why wouldn't there be a regime change?" The comment possibly hinting at hopes that the Iranian people will now demand new leadership. Vice President J.D. Vance insists the U.S. strikes were about stopping Iran's nuclear ambitions, not toppling its government.
Iran's foreign minister is in Moscow to meet with President Putin. Oil prices have been up, down, up again. Between Texas and Maine, about 150 million Americans are under heat alerts for today. A shocker, the Texas Republican governor, Greg Abbott, has vetoed a measure passed by the Republican-controlled state legislature. The bill would have prohibited sale of products containing a main ingredient in marijuana, THC. It took all seven games, but the Oklahoma Thunder beat the Indiana Pacers 103-91 and are the new NBA champs. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. At the Capitol, budget negotiations between Senate and Assembly Republicans came to a halt on Thursday, with a pair of Republican senators raising objections to the process. On Wednesday, Joint Finance Committee co-chair Republican Representative Mark Bourne remained upbeat. Bourne said Republicans have, quote, had good discussions, end quote, and to hope complete work on the two-year budget by the close of the fiscal year at the end of June. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said Wednesday that there have been, quote, recent conversations, end quote, with Democratic Governor Tony Evers' office as Republicans hope to avoid the governor's veto. The outlook had changed by Thursday, with the Joint Finance Committee abruptly canceling a scheduled executive session. Republican Senators Steve Nass and Chris Capango opposed the process between Assembly Republicans and the governor. In a statement, Nass said, quote, "There is nothing preventing the Republican majority in the legislature from passing a conservative state budget except for the lack of willingness at the highest levels in the assembly," end quote. Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu said in a statement that those talks are, quote, "heading in a direction that taxpayers cannot afford," end quote. Joint Finance Committee Democrat Senator Kelda Royce said Senate Republican leadership needs to decide whether they want to, quote, kowtow to the most extreme voices in their caucus that are demanding things that nobody in Wisconsin wants, end quote. With a narrow 18-15 majority, Republicans in the chamber would need Democratic votes to pass the budget. Failure to complete a budget by the end of the fiscal year on June 30th would mean current funding levels remain in place, something Nass said he's fine with. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
It's the Brewers and the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight as the Brewers open a home series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Milwaukee now just 3.5 games out of first place after sweeping the Twins over the weekend. 9-8 yesterday at Target Field. The Brewers had a 9-3 lead thanks to Rhys Hoskins with a double, a home run, and two runs batted in. But closer Trevor Megill had to come in the eighth to hold off Minnesota. Pat Murphy says catcher William Contreras also doing a great job setting up batters, and praised Megill getting his 17th save of the season already.
The kid's been pretty consistent. He knows who he is. And again, William Contreras was great back there.
NBA Finals, Oklahoma City pulled ahead to win the title in Game 7, 103-91. Pacers head coach Rick Carlisle on losing his star player from Oshkosh, Tyrese Halliburton, to a torn Achilles tendon in the first quarter.
What happened with Tyrese is all of our hearts dropped.
That's Rick Carlisle with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be hot and muggy again today. That heat index will be pushing 100 once again this afternoon. And then we do have a chance of thunderstorms later today. Some of those strong to severe with hail, wind, even an isolated tornado possible. Stay weather aware today and this evening. Tomorrow, it will be cooler. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 82. Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Maggie Dawn.
LGBTQ rights are under attack. At 4:30, Patrick Faribault from Our Lives Magazine joins to discuss what's at stake and how we celebrate Pride right here in Wisconsin. Don't miss the Maggie Dawn Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots of stuff coming up on the show today. Very excited to talk to Civic Media's new news director.
New news. Not old news director.
No, she is our new news director.
Right.
Charlie Pittman is going to be joining us after 9:30. We have a wonderful news department that is scattered all over Wisconsin, covering things that matter to all of us. So Charlie's going to be joining us. We will speak a little bit more in depth about the U.S. striking Iran over the weekend, dropping that bomb. We will, again, talk about that a little bit more with Charlie and other things that our news department is working on. And I mentioned this. I just appeared with Pat Kreitlow on his show right before the top of the hour news. Sign up for our newsletter. Sign up for the Civic Media newsletter. It really is great, and it's not going to cost you anything.
No, and there is actually there's so many ways to be informed with Civic Media. You can go to – you can get the Civic Media newsletter. From what I understand, there's even like a new and improved or another like it. We just want to get that information out to you. But you can also like wherever you listen. So if you're listening to WAUK right now, you can go to WAUKradio.com and you can sign up for the WAUK newsletter. And that is a more concentrated, more regional
community.
Exactly. And so you can stay informed with all the stories, because that's a great thing about Civic Media's news desk, is that it's not just covering the statewide news. It's not just covering the nation. It's covering those, you know, hey, the Cranberry Festival is in such and such today. It's all, it's got everything you need.
Yep. What's going on in Oshkosh? What's going on in Park Falls? What's going on in Hayward? Again, we have a news department scattered all across the state. So Charlie will be joining us after the 9:30 news. Hour number two, we're going to lighten things up a little bit. PJ Leash is UW-Madison's and Wisconsin's essentially bug guy. He is an entomologist. And I've seen a lot of reports that ticks are worse than ever this season. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Also, the Trump administration looks like it's going to cancel another study on the importance of pollinators.
Because why bother?
No one depends on that for almonds or cherries or, you know, other things we eat.
There is a farmer's market that Bridget and I go to every Saturday, and there is a local honey place, and they have a T-shirt that's available that says, no bees, no food.
It's true.
Very simple.
Yep, pretty simple. So PJ Leash joining us in hour number two. We will wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Lost and Found edition, so stick around for that. And as always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays at civicmedia.us. Wanted to start off with this again. We're going to be talking about the U.S. bombing Iran over the weekend. After the 9:30 news, we'll get into a little bit more with Charlie Pittman to find out the latest on that and the latest where we're going from here. Yeah. But I wanted to start off, we wanted to start a little bit more locally with what's going on in Wisconsin. And Wisconsin's Chris
Kapinga.
Kapinga, thank you. We're finally going to say it correctly.
This is a, I will say this again to his face when he's on the show on Friday, but this is an apology to Dan Schaefer, who on the air said he was pronouncing Chris Kapinga's name incorrectly, because we've been saying Kapinga.
Kapinga, which is not it.
No one has corrected us.
Yeah, that's not it. It's Kapinga.
Kapinga, yeah.
Senator Kapinga was on WISN's Upfront over the weekend, talking about the budget, but also talking about security of our lawmakers. This is in the wake of the assassination, essentially, of the Minnesota lawmaker and her husband, and the attempted murder of another Minnesota lawmaker and his wife.
Yeah.
And so Kapinga was on WISN's Upfront talking about more security for Wisconsin's lawmakers. Let's play that first clip, Calvin, please, from Sunday's Upfront on WISN.
The security concern, I've been raising that for about the last 4 years. And actually, when I was in the president's spot in the Senate, we researched security systems. We had one picked out, but we just couldn't get enough support within the legislature to get that put in place. And I've been to capitals all over the country. There's not one capital I've been in that we haven't had to go through intense security screenings.
You mentioned your time as Senate president back in 2023. You pushed for more security after a man was arrested trying to get a handgun into the Capitol, Governor Evers. You say that didn't go anywhere because of support. Where does that stand now? Are you still having those conversations?
Yeah, I think this will obviously help. I wish it wasn't something we had to have happen, but I actually said that. I'm like, what is it going to take for us to get serious about security? It's probably going to take somebody getting hurt.
So let's just start off with the obvious. We here, Matt and Aaron Air, Civic Media, we don't believe that violence is the answer. We don't think it's right. Politically driven violence is terrible. We think that anyone in that building and anywhere, period, should be safe, secure, and feel unencumbered by an attacker. That should go without saying, Jane, but I feel like we have to say that.
I agree with you.
But what he just said in that sentence is so, I don't want to say angering, but just frustrating for me as an American. What does it take? Why we don't want to, what it's the reactive nature. We want to be proactive instead of reactive. Every time there is any sort of mass shooting in this country, and that happens a lot, there is outcry. There's outcry for red flag laws. There's outcry for increased background checks. There's outcry for get rid of certain guns, get rid of certain styles of guns. There's a conversation that happens every time. And we are always told by the right and by gun enthusiasts, don't politicize this. You're making too big of a deal of it. It's the Second Amendment. It's our God-given right. It shall not be infringed. Everything is there. And we're simply saying, how many times does this have to happen for us
before something gets done?
What Mr. Kapinga is saying is
gun lobby?
Not the gun lobby. The people who want to get some reform. The gun reform individuals have been saying for years, decades now, is basically like, what does it take to get some security? What does it take to do something about this issue of weapons? And let's just face it, people aren't running in with axes, they're running in with guns. So he's making the exact same argument that people on the gun reform side have been making for a long time. So now all of a sudden, it's something we need to look at.
Right, because it's them.
Yes.
Because it's lawmakers.
It's
about our lawmakers, not about our kids.
No.
Not about our kids going to school, having to worry about being shot at school.
Mm-hmm.
That's not that we're there. He's not talking about any of that.
No. And if you want proof that he's talking about specifically about lawmakers, he's not talking about the people. And that's the other thing that's really infuriating. He's not talking honestly about the people in the building. He's not talking about the assistants, the interns, the aides, the cleaning staff.
Right. There's all kinds of people that work in the Capitol.
All sorts of individuals who work in there. He's talking about the lawmakers who need to be protected specifically. And that's true. They should be protected. They need, like, everyone in that building should be protected. And once again, I'm saying the obvious again. But he is speaking about lawmakers in specifically in this one. And that also upsets me because it shouldn't matter what your job is in that building. Everyone should feel safe.
I would say that everyone as individuals should feel safe.
What an amazing idea.
Right. Yeah. We have another clip from yesterday's appearance. Senator Chris Kappinga on WISN up front. Calvin, play clip number two, please.
What Indiana, for instance, it's a great example that I bring up a lot, is that Indiana is extremely conservative and pro personal protection. They allow legislators to carry into the building for protection, which I always do. I always have been armed to protect myself, especially when I'm up in the front in the president's spot. That was, I just felt it was very important. But the general public, they don't need to have their weapons in the people's house. In the people's house, it's their representatives who are elected. That's the voice of the people. And I need to be protected as a public servant. So does everybody else who's been elected into that spot. We should not be worrying about our lives walking into that building.
But you still want lawmakers to be able to carry inside and on the floor.
Absolutely.
Lot to unpack there.
Did you just hear what he said? Everyone listening right now, watching on the live stream. Did you hear what he just said? He said that his life is more important for protection than the lives of others.
Because he's the voice of the people.
He's the voice. No, he is not. He is a guy who cast the vote. And right now he's doing nothing. We'll get to the budget later. But the people are who are important. And the people's voice needs to be protected. I have so many problems with this statement. So many.
Well, and I don't disagree. Yes, our lawmakers should be able to walk into the Capitol and not have to worry about getting shot. Mm-hmm. I think our kids should be able to walk into school and not have to worry about being shot. I think all of us as Americans should be able to go, I don't know, to church or the grocery store or the gas station or pretty much anywhere and not have to worry about being shot. And the fact that he can stand up there and say that he is the voice of the people, when we know the Joint Finance Committee that had four meetings around Wisconsin completely ignored the top three issue they heard from people. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me that you're the voice of the people.
Well, and also he's designated as he is more important than.
His life has more value.
His life has more value there, or he should be able to carry a gun into that building. The fact that there's no metal detectors in there is surprising. I will say that.
I don't have a problem with that.
There should be up to the state-of-the-art security in that building, and there should be well-paid guards in that building to take care of it.
Who are trained.
I do not believe that lawmakers carrying guns in their pocket is somehow making it more safe to be in there. I do not agree with that, and I vehemently disagree with the notion that because he is a lawmaker, somehow he has more value. That is ridiculous. That is offensive, and it's stupid. It's a stupid argument to make. Just because you want to carry your personal defense mechanism. It's a gun. It's a gun, sir. People are pro personal defense. It's a gun. You want to carry a gun because you watched a Western and you want to feel like a man. I'm sorry. It is so telling to me what he thinks of the people.
And I just found it immensely tone deaf.
Yes.
I did. I found it really tone deaf. Again, yes, I agree. Our lawmakers should be able to do their jobs without the threat of being gunned down at work. Mm-hmm. I think all of us are entitled to that.
Absolutely.
As Americans. And if you're going to be the voice of the people, Mr. Kappinga, then actually do what they're asking you to do.
Absolutely.
That's a thought.
Absolutely. And this is splitting hairs here, but we're also ignoring the fact that these two lawmakers and their spouses were not gunned down in the building. They were gunned down at home. That's a whole other argument. Whole other discussion we need to have about this. What kind of security do they need to have off the clock, if you will?
Right.
You know, we can talk about that. But just because you want to carry a gun into a building, don't make the argument that you're more important than the other individuals in said building.
When we return, Elon, He's just going to rewrite history the way he wants it. It's all good. Nothing to see here. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter later on today, 2:35 during the Todd Alba Show. Todd welcomes back State Senator Kelda Royce from the Joint Finance Committee to talk about the state budget in hour number two on Todd's show, a weather edition of What's Worse. Is it the heat or humidity? I'm just guessing.
I'll bet you it's winter versus summer, because I'm seeing a lot of the, especially in Wisconsin, the, you say it's too hot now, you said it was too cold, like all of that.
Right.
We do it every year.
We do.
Every year we forget that Wisconsin is insane.
It's weather whiplash.
Exactly.
Like just, you wait 2 days and it's going to change. Before we went to the break, we were talking about State Senator Chris Kapinga appearing on WISN's Upfront over the weekend, talking about that tragic assassination of the Minnesota lawmaker and her husband. And he would like to see metal detectors at the Capitol, which I don't have a problem with. Mm-mm. But essentially, he's talking about how important he is because he is the voice of the people.
Wow. Yeah, just, I mean.
Okay. Cassandra from New London. Wow, I don't have a lot of words for this. How dare you say you are more valuable than my children?
Yeah.
and Sue from Franklin. I watched that yesterday and I was thinking the same thing. They are so inward focused.
Yeah.
What does Jane say? Good for me, but not for thee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Security for me, but you, your kid's five. They'll be fine.
And if you want to talk to Mr. Kapinga's office, you can go to myvote.wi.gov. You don't even have to be represented by Mr. Kapinga because he's the voice of the people and you are the people.
You are a people.
So go to myvote.wi.gov and you're going to put in your information. You can find not only all sorts of great stuff on voting, which you should do now before this election, before you might forget, but also on your representatives. You can find out from the president on down to your local school board and common council members. So you can call his office up, be kind, be nice. The person who person who's answering is either an aide or an intern. So, yeah, they're just there to talk to you. But tell them that your voice matters, that you will matter, and he is not more important than you are.
Well, and also, if he's the voice of the people, maybe he should actually vote on behalf of what he hears from those people.
Absolutely.
It's just
a
thought.
Yeah, just a tiny idea.
We're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I think this is really important.
Yeah.
And I think If you just spend a couple of minutes thinking about this, this is really disturbing. Elon Musk has announced plans to completely rewrite human knowledge after his AI chatbot Grok, which I've never used, but I see it show up on Twitter all the time. Grok is like community notes.
Yeah.
So if you post something and you go to Grok and say, Grok, is this accurate? Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, Grok has been discounting a lot of what Elon has said as far as it's not factual. So Grok is correcting Elon. We can't have that.
Yeah.
Can't have Grok correcting the most wonderful, smartest man in the world, Elon Musk. So yesterday, here's what he said on Twitter, quote, we will use Grok 3.5, maybe we should call it 4, which has advanced reasoning to rewrite the entire corpus of human knowledge, adding missing information and deleting errors. So Elon wants to rewrite history. Deleting errors.
Well, honestly, Jay, I mean, let's just be quite honest really quick about it all. He is doing what the Texas school board has done. He's doing what other school boards have done. But he's saying fancy space words like, I'm rewriting now. No, you're not. You're just going to say that. You're going to say that, oh, man, white Africans really had it harder than you think.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That apartheid really hurt them, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I should be shocked, appalled. I should be clutching my pearls, but he's really just digitalizing and advancing and making it look cooler what lawmakers, historians, school boards, and other weirdo individuals who just want us to forget about slavery have been doing for decades. And I'm sorry, for over a century.
Well,
really.
Right. And just trying to disappear truths.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's disappear things that are uncomfortable, that make us feel badly about our past. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't ever have to admit that we did things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see from Donald Trump all the time.
Well, I mean,
who never admits that he's done anything wrong.
No.
But this should be very concerning, especially with AI. And if you've seen some of the AI fakes going around, it's pretty astonishing. So in different chats, I've seen people tell other people, hang on to your books. Hang on to your history books.
What I'm hoping is that while he does his redefining human knowledge in a space age, blah, blah, blah. All my rockets blow up.
They blew up another one last week.
I know. I believe that there will be people or groups of people who are just way smarter than Elon. What am I saying? I'm as smart as Elon, who will build systems, AI systems, things that will counter this. Yes, absolutely. I think there are good people out there and I think they'll put their brains to good work. And while Grok is going to be funded by the biggest weirdo loser, richest man ever, I think there are going to be people who I wouldn't be surprised if that's not already happening, who will produce things that will fly in the face of what he's trying to do, especially in the rewriting of human knowledge.
Something to counter this?
At the very least, and I know it sounds very basic, but you go to Wikipedia, and while people can say, well, it's Wikipedia, but there are dozens of citations on there saying where they got the information, and you can go find out for yourself. So while this is disappointing, yet nothing new, I feel like good people will come to the rescue and be like, hey,
step up.
Yeah.
Let's hope so. We have news coming up next when we return. Civic Media's new news director, Jolly Pittman, is going to be joining us. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the center, WRCE. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Wisconsin State Senate approved a bill Wednesday that would create new felony charges for rioters and make it easier for residents and businesses to file a lawsuit for property damage. Republican lawmakers claim there's been an increase in violent riots since 2020 and say there needs to be stronger penalties for rioters. Democratic lawmakers raised concerns about First Amendment violations and warned that the language of the bill could mean any person in a protest group could face charges if just one of them causes property damage or injuries. A Republican state lawmaker is sponsoring a constitutional amendment to introduce term limits on elected state positions. State Representative Duke Tucker of Grantsburg says the constitutional amendment would limit elected officials to serving 8 years in a single position. That would mean term limits of 2 terms for a 4-year position like governor or state senator and 4 terms for state representatives who serve 2-year terms. A recent report from the Wisconsin Elections Commission found fewer barriers for elderly and disabled voters at polling places compared to a 2023 review. Under Wisconsin statute, the WEC is required to submit a report to the legislature regarding voting barriers faced by the elderly and voters with disabilities. The report is due no later than June 30th in odd-numbered years. For the 2024-25 election cycle, the WEC reviewed 477 randomly selected polling places across 299 municipalities in 42 counties. The average number of non-compliant findings per polling place was 5.2, down from 5.6 in 2023. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Danny Boyle is back with the release of 28 Years Later, his long-awaited third installment of the 28 Days franchise. In a recent article in Variety, the Slumdog Millionaire Oscar-winning director says, due to cultural appropriation, he probably couldn't direct a film like Slumdog Millionaire nowadays, but says he's okay with that and that he would want a young Indian director to have that opportunity to tell the story. What a cool dude. Boyle's other credits include Trainspotting and 127 Hours. Timothy Oliphant is on a roll. The star of Justified has a new show on Apple TV Plus called Lucky, where he stars opposite Anna Taylor-Joy. But Oliphant wasn't done. He still managed to find room in his calendar to join the cast of another Apple show called Stick, alongside Owen Wilson. The Emmy-nominated Oliphant will next be seen in FX's Alien Earth, which drops in August, and he will join a new Peacock show called Five Star Weekend. Cha-ching. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be hot and muggy again today. That heat index will be pushing 100 once again this afternoon. And then we do have a chance of thunderstorms later today. Some of those strong to severe with hail, wind, even an isolated tornado possible. Stay weather aware today and this evening. Tomorrow, it will be cooler. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 82.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I welcome the Green Bay Automobile Gallery's Daryl Burnett. And we rank our all-time favorite summer blockbuster movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Next hour after the 10 o'clock news, he's the bug guy, entomologist PJ Leash from UW-Madison is going to be joining us to talk all things creepy crawlies, including ticks.
It's
supposed
ticks.
To be a bad tick season, so we're going to talk to PJ Leash about that after 10 o'clock. Right now, though, delighted to be joined by Civic Media's new news director, Charlie Pittman, is here. Good morning, Charlie. Nice to meet you. Thanks for joining us.
Nice to meet you on air. That's a hard one to say, isn't it? News director.
You've been with us just about a month here at Civic Media. For folks who don't know, including us, if you want to tell us a little bit about your background, Charlie.
Sure. Well, I've worked in broadcasting since I was an adult, since I was 18. I come most recently from WORT, which is a community radio station in Madison, Wisconsin. Interesting structure, mostly volunteer run and operated. Everyone on the air is a volunteer. So very used to training and running a news department where we also had an hour-long news show.
Wow, that's great. It's a big job. Civic Media has news reporters all over the state. We're going to talk about that a little bit more a little bit later on. But let's just talk with what happened over the weekend, Charlie, from the news department, at least as far as the U.S. Bombing Iran over the weekend. Where do we stand right now?
Where do we stand right now? Well, we're waiting. We're watching and waiting, right? You know, Operation Midnight Hammer was the decision to strike Iran with these bunker buster bombs and this these massive ordnance penetrators. Obviously, our listeners heard that when we went live this weekend. But right now, we don't know. We are in the waiting period. President Trump is slated to meet with the, I believe, the National Security Council later today. The many nations around the world have condemned it or issued warnings, but we don't know.
Well, and I think the other thing that we don't know, the Trump administration has said we completely obliterated their Iran's nuclear capabilities. From what I'm seeing this morning, that has not been confirmed. We do not know that, correct?
Correct. There are kind of aerial maps that you can look at and kind of guess at. These three sites, Fordo, Natanz, and Isfahan, are deep underground, and they have this. I'm waving with my hands, but listeners can't see that, calling attention to the limitations of the medium. But there are these big, they're reinforced with concrete and all sorts of things and deep underground. So they're hard to reach. It's also hard to tell.
Right.
So we don't know that either.
Yeah. It's not like you can confirm this by sight and just say, yes, everything's been destroyed. Because, again, the president had warned Iranians to evacuate. What that was last weekend. So they did have the Iranians did have the opportunity to move things. If they took that threat that Donald Trump said you should evacuate immediately, if they took that threat seriously, then they had a little time to move things.
Right. Now we aired the less than four minute address from President Trump on Saturday night. And he claimed that their nuclear facilities had been obliterated. But again, there's no way to know, especially that quickly. And so we don't know what the potential is.
And this is, I mean, it was quite shocking on Saturday night just to get the news coming through all the notifications. And this came on the heels of him essentially saying, I believe either Thursday or Friday, I'm going to give it 2 weeks.
Thursday. He's up the king, to 2 weeks.
He's the king of the fortnight. He loves 2 weeks. Yeah. 2 weeks to solve everything. But he said 2 weeks, and then this happened, which obviously means that, you know, I mean, we have to assume they didn't just call on that Saturday to say, go, this has been in the, this has to be worked. Now, I am speculating. I do not work for DOD or state. But for him to say 2 weeks and almost 48 hours later for this to happen, I don't want to say it's miscommunication, but it just doesn't seem like this was handled in the best way.
Hey, we have no idea what is going on behind closed doors with his counsel. I know that my Saturday night was disrupted. Where were you, Greg?
I was right here running the Racine Raiders game at WRJN and going, oh, no, touchdown. All right, cool. Yay. You know, it's like very much there's no such thing as a quiet weekend or a slow Friday. Every day now is, it can happen anytime.
News is always breaking.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, Civic Media's news director, Charlie Pittman, is our guest. And we're talking a little bit about what we know as of today after the U.S. bombed Iran over the weekend. Where are Wisconsin's Republican lawmakers on this? Where are Wisconsin's lawmakers in general on this, Charlie?
Glad you asked that. You can find at civicmedia.us a roundup of reactions from Wisconsin's congressional delegation. It's predictably divided. Republicans mostly endorse it, mostly, and Democrats don't, right? Yeah. And are calling on the passage of an update to the War Powers. The War Powers Act, which would require congressional authorization to go to war
to take these kinds of moves. Yeah, right. Because they did not have this when he decided to do this over the weekend.
Well, so I watched the briefing yesterday at the Pentagon, and under the War Powers Act of 1973, it says you must inform Congress within 48 hours. But what's new, there's a new resolution in Congress that was introduced by Representative Thomas Massey and also by a Republican from, I believe, Kentucky, and then Ro Khanna from California, who introduced a bill into the House recently, but it hasn't been passed, and it would require express authorization from Congress for any hostility, taking hostile action on Iran specifically. Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, Thomas Massey is a Republican lawmaker who came out over the weekend pretty strongly against this move. Mm-hmm. And now he is in the crosshairs of President Trump, who said he's going to make sure he's primaried and get him out of there, because it does seem like within the Republican Party, or at least the MAGAs, there is some division on whether or not this was the right thing to do.
Right. And so I bring that up because Wisconsin's congressional delegation pointed back to that. We have Representative Mark Pocan saying that this must be passed to block Trump from dragging the U.S. into an unconstitutional war in the Middle East. And we had others on the Democratic side echoing those statements. Meanwhile, Senator Ron Johnson endorsing it, saying we could not allow Iran to become a nuclear power. They were getting too close. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't give it up. So I support President Trump's action. We had our own expert on Saturday night, Stephen Zunes, a professor at the University of San Francisco. He called this nonsense. He said the idea that there was some kind of imminent threat that required military action immediately was nonsense. He pointed to the fact that we could go back to the Iran nuclear deal, but we don't have that anymore.
Right. Yeah. And that was a deal brokered by the Obama administration, which was in place and seemed to be working. There were agreements, as far as, if I remember this correctly, that we were, our inspectors were allowed into Iran to check on their nuclear capabilities. And then when Donald Trump was elected the first time around, he blew that up. He pulled us out and blew us out of that, took us out of that deal that that had been brokered by the Obama administration. It's interesting, though, Tulsi Gabbard was the one who essentially said last week that there were no signs of an imminent threat. She did not go along with Donald Trump's assertion that it had been verified that they were ready to, that Iran was ready to take a move. And now it looks like Tulsi Gabbard has been kind of X'd out of everything.
Yep, I don't have much to say to that, but she has now flipped and said that Iran could produce nuclear weapon within weeks.
Of course,
we're going back and forth.
And back to Senator Ron Johnson, he was on Fox News, either it was yesterday or it might have been this morning, because that is his favorite place to be, and essentially said that this bombing now has done, he is even more resolved now to do more cutting in the budget bill. Because what they want to cut from Medicaid and SNAP and all of that stuff, that's not enough. Now that we've done this, he wants the cuts to go even deeper.
This is a very weird path to go from bombing Iran to Medicaid cuts. One of the things I want to talk about really quick, and you both brought this up as far as the divide in the Republican Party, is that, you know, it's not just the lawmakers. I remember listening to the Tom Hartman show here on Civic Media, and a Republican called up and said, while he is a MAGA Republican, even this is giving him pause. And when the world stage is saying we don't like this, it is going to be interesting to see how President Trump will square this to the American public in the face of his own party isn't on board with this. So,
but that nothing like that ever makes him change his mind.
No, I know.
He just doubles down on it and says he's right.
I didn't say it will change his mind. I said it's how he's going to sell it.
Well, let's talk about whether this is popular with the American public. Anecdotally, we had our reporter from Wisconsin Rapids, Melissa Kay, out there on Sunday, and there was sort of an impromptu protest against this action. She talked to people there, and some told her that this reminded her of when President Bush said there were weapons of mass destruction, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And is the child of parents who heavily followed that. You know, that has a deep and lasting impact on folks watching the United States potentially commit itself to yet another war.
Well, and you bring up a really good point. And George W. Bush and all of his advisors told the American people they had weapons of mass destruction. That's why we needed to go to war. And after how many years and how many lives and how many millions of dollars?
Trillions.
They did not have weapons of mass destruction.
Yes.
So Melissa found a little Not necessarily swallowing the administration's claim that Iran was on the brink of attacking us.
Yeah.
Yeah. She talked to the organizer who said it was a spur of the moment call to action and that they were just too furious about the bombing of Iran they wanted to do something. So, you know, not that there haven't been protests before in Wisconsin Rapids, but another thing to add to the protest list.
And I think that's when you were speaking anecdotally, that's something that was very much on social media this weekend is, you know, pictures of George Bush saying there's WMDs and Donald Trump. But also the other thing, too, that I said this on Twitter was that during both his debate with now former President Biden and with Vice President Kamala Harris, he made it so clear that these two are going to be the ones that get us into war. These two are going to put us in the crosshairs of World War III. And I just found it very interesting that Russia invaded Ukraine in February of 2022. And while we did give them munitions, we gave them resources, we gave them money, support, we never got involved in that war in almost 3 years of Joe Biden's presidency. It took us 3 months, less than 6 months to get into now what seems like a war with Iran, which is something that has been on the stage for a long time. That's something that people have really feared. They've been pushing the notion of war with Iran.
Well, and again, you said it correctly, Greg, in that Donald Trump said that everyone else was going to get us into World War III. He's the peace president. Maybe not so much. We're going to continue our conversation with Charlie Pittman on the other side. She is the news director here at Civic Media. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
as Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Voting Rights Lab reports there were 59 state bills introduced on proof of citizenship for voter registration this year, and 160 bills concerning voter ID. A handful have made it near the finish line, but not all have passed. Since President Donald Trump's baseless accusations of mail-in voting fraud in 2020 and his unfounded claims of widespread non-citizen voting in the 2024 election, Republican-dominated legislatures have raced to pass stricter voter ID and proof of citizenship laws, despite no widespread abuse of either. In New Hampshire, versions of SB 218 were advanced, requiring submission of ID and proof of citizenship for absentee registration, and are now in a committee of conference. In Texas, a high-priority documentary proof of citizenship bill died without action at the end of the session. In Texas alone, there were 15 bills introduced to provide documentary proof of citizenship and 10 tightening voter ID laws. Nevada Governor Joe Lombardo surprisingly vetoed a bipartisan voter ID bill attempting to codify a widely supported ballot initiative. Democrats negotiated expanded ballot drop boxes in exchange for supporting voter ID. His veto statement said the bill did not address implementing voter ID for mail-in ballots. Wyoming and Indiana passed proof of citizenship earlier this year. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
All my babies coming home tomorrow. Ain't that good news?
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We do have baseball action coming up later on today. Our broadcast starts at 6:05. Crew hosting the Pirates. You can listen live on terrestrial radio to WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward. They have Lumberjacks next month.
Oh, we should... We should talk more about that.
We should maybe go there.
Maybe.
Our broadcast with baseball starts 6:05 today. The crew hosting the Pirates. Right now we are joined by Civic Media News Director Charlie Pittman is here. And Charlie, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Wisconsin budget.
Yes, here back at home. Okay.
Here back at home. All right. What's happening? What's happening in Wisconsin?
Well, your guess is pretty much as good as mine here, too. I feel like I'm showing up and saying, I don't know.
Nobody knows.
But I can, I can help to get you to where we are at this point. So last week, there were the budget legislative committee, the budget writing committee, had a bunch of meetings and some planned meetings. Not all of them materialized.
Yeah.
So take us back to last Thursday. It feels like so long ago.
It does.
Yeah.
The Joint Finance Committee was scheduled to meet, and it had some big ticket items on its agenda. And they canceled right before the meeting started. So that threw us a bit akimbo.
And this was after, because we talked to some child care providers who either closed their daycare centers or worked out special arrangements so they could drive 3 hours to get to Madison to attend this meeting. And then our lawmakers, being gracious as they are, just canceled it at the last minute.
Right. And this was after a week of delaying the Joint Finance Committee by several hours, I believe. It's all kind of a blur, but I never quite entirely trust that these meetings are going to
happen
on time or will happen at all.
Yeah.
So that's where we were. We saw a statement from Devin LeMahieu that the direction that we're headed, that Republicans felt they were headed in a direction taxpayers couldn't afford. Now we hear from Tip McGuire, a Democrat who's also on that committee, saying, look, you're giving in to the desires of your most extreme legislative caucuses. And that's a quote. And he's pointing to this internal disagreement in the Republican Party. So first we had budget talks between Democrat Governor Tony Evers and the Republican leadership breakdown. This last week and coming into this week, we have internal disagreement within the GOP. There are two state senators, both Republicans, who say they're not or have gestured that they're not going to vote for the budget, for a new budget. And they are, let's see, Kapinga, Senator Chris Kapinga, and State Senator Steve Noss, Republican from Whitewater.
Yeah.
Right. Two slightly different reasons. Kapinga had previously said that he wasn't going to vote for it because he believes the existing budget should carry over. In a kind of thread following his reasoning, he says it would be the lowest spending increase in a decade and that there would be no risk of Governor Evers' veto pen. And so that's why he says he's not going to vote for it. And then there's State Senator Steve Noss, who has repeatedly come after kind of the GOP leadership and everyone to say that this quote might be the worst process used in all of his time in the legislature, unquote. So the worst budget process.
Yeah.
So we have two kind of disgruntled Republican senators who, you know, because there's a slim majority,
right.
Republicans need those two to get to a deal. So again, we don't really know, but what comes after this, right? Well, we have rumors swirling last week of an $87 million cut to higher education funding,
right.
UW-Madison. Mm-hmm. That's a cut when Governor Evers had proposed an $850 million increase for the Universities of Wisconsin or UW system. So we don't, you know, that's a huge disparity.
Yeah.
And trying to square that, I think, is a difficult thing.
And it sounds like the federal level, too. You have Ron Johnson saying, I don't like this budget. And it's not because he wants to put more money in to help people. Like, we need to cut more. We need to cut even more. This program's going to get gotten rid of. And Chris Kapinga is really just the human version of this whole process going, let's just do the old one. That's fine.
And I just find it interesting that at least some of our lawmakers believe that they can take no action. Mm-hmm. They can do nothing. Again, after the Joint Finance Committee traveled around the state, 4 different stops, hearing from hundreds of Wisconsinites about the top issues that are important to them. But our Republicans apparently feel secure enough that them not doing anything is going to be just fine with everybody.
Well,
it's going to be just fine.
Chris Kapinga, who said we should just wait and do nothing, is also the man who said in that same upfront interview that they are the voice of the people. So apparently the people say, don't do anything. Just it's fine. It's all good to go. It's very disappointing to see this kind of gridlock and see the finger pointing that's happening.
If you would like our lawmakers to do something, you can always reach them in a real handy dandy way. Go to myvote.wi.gov. Just put in your address. All the contact information for all of your lawmakers will appear. You can always give them a friendly, polite phone call. Check in on what they are or are not doing in Madison. Shelley Pittman is the news director for Civic Media. She's going to be joining us every Monday. Thank you so very much, Shelley. Really appreciate your time. And we will see you next week.
Thanks so much.
We have news coming up next, and then we'll return, talk all things creepy crawlies with PJ Leash, the bug guy. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Ain't that news? Man, ain't that news? I can't wait to get a home where we can finally be alone. Disconnect my telephone. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news?
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Wall Street stock markets opened with small losses that have reversed into modest gains. The price of oil was up, down, and then up again as analysts say investors are watching for Iran's response to the U.S. air attacks on Iran's nuclear sites. There have been more air attacks between Iran and Israel. Iran's foreign minister is in Moscow to meet with President Putin. About 150 million Americans are under heat alerts. ABC's Jim Ryan.
From Raleigh, North Carolina to Philadelphia, the actual temperature will hit 100 this afternoon. But a lack of moisture and wind will make it feel more like 106 to 109 degrees. Escaping the heat may mean driving west about 2,000 miles. Heavy snow has been falling in Montana.
Supreme Court says it'll take up a religious freedom case this fall involving a Rastafarian man imprisoned in the state of Louisiana whose head was forcibly shaved in violation of a court order. This is ABC News.